To everyone. Good evening. It is Tuesday, January 16th. We appreciate everyone making the time to reschedule this board meeting to this evening. Looks like present we have Alokio, Angela, Brian, Felicia, Yvonne, Jesse, Don, Marty, Becky. So we'll go ahead and get this month's meeting started. It is 6:11 p.m. We'll go ahead and hand it off to you, Brian, for the financial report.
Okay, thank you and good evening. So as far as the financial report goes, we had a good finance meeting. Want to welcome Dawn to the finance committee and look forward to working with her. I'll just go ahead and share my screen here. If you want to go ahead and give me that permission, that would be awesome.
Oh,
Give us
just a
permission.
second.
Yeah, you're good.
I'm trying to turn the
No,
volume.
yeah, you're good. Not too many updates right now. As you all know, the calendar year just finished, so we're working on 990, 1099s. If we have any of those, we'll get those out in the next week or two. And continued work on restricted funds, making sure that everything as usual is accounted for and tracked appropriately. As far as our PTIF goes, share my screen really quick. You can see the statement there. It continues to perform really well. We're up over the 9,000 mark for the month of December. So that's great. Continues to perform well. So
Maxed out. Okay. That's it.
we'll continue to monitor our cash balances in our operating account. And if we get to a point where we can shift additional funds over, we'll do that. We'll discuss that in the finance meeting and then, of course, in the board meeting as well. But right now, we're at a good amount to cover our monthly obligations and then have a little some extra as well. As far as budget summary, we are as of the end of December, we are halfway through the fiscal year, which is strange. It feels like we just started, but time's moving along quickly. Our operating margin is a little leaner than we are used to in prior years, but still good. We're up over the 3% mark. Just want to point out that we have additional funds that are not yet included in this budget. We just heard from the state that Esperanza was, I don't know if awarded was the right, I think it's the proper term, but $150,000 for not re-entering the CSI program that they were in prior years. So conversations will take place between myself and Alokio, the administration, to determine how that will be spent, according to the requirements and rules of the program itself. So if it's anything like CSI, I think we'll be able to cover those expenses with some planned expenses and some additional expenses to the budget. So we'll nail down those details and have that incorporated into the budget for the February meeting. But overall, very good news. Categorically, everything looks good, right around that 50% mark where we like to see it. Cash balance is trending pretty typically for what we see this time of year. Obviously, during the summer, we had all of our reimbursement requests, and then, of course, slightly dropping as I said, typical what we see last year and this year. And then enrollment holding steady as usual, 534 as of the end of December, but I think we're back up close to that 540 mark currently. So yeah, things are looking good financially. We'll continue to monitor any line items that may be going a little over. As I said, we'll incorporate the additional revenue coming from federal sources that I mentioned for a budget report for next month. Any questions?
Nope.
Okay, that is all I had. Thank you.
Thanks, Brian.
Yep.
Thank you, Brian.
Of course.
Okay, we're going to defer last month's minutes since we do not have a quorum. And did you want to talk about the calendar, or do we want to just go ahead and defer it?
We'll defer the calendar too. It's not needed right now. I mean, we don't need it until probably March, but we'll do it next month for sure.
Okay, perfect. So that brings us on to discussions. I'm not sure if any of the expansion committees have met. I know that I've seen some messages with Juan, but since he's not here, we probably just need to defer these again this month.
I'll add it on the site committee, that's what we're calling it. We did not meet. I did have a chance, though, to go back and dust off my notes from years back when we were going through this process. Just an issue spot for things that maybe we haven't thought of yet, or complications or curveballs that came our way. And give me another 2 weeks and we'll meet.
Perfect. Sounds good. So
I feel like I'm ready to go.
So next month we'll probably have something.
We'll have something.
Awesome. Wonderful. Okay. Well, then that takes us right into the executive director, the principal report.
This meeting is going to be very short.
I don't mind.
Because we are our report, my report. I don't think I'm sharing it, am I? Are you seeing my report, my PowerPoint?
No, we can't see it.
Okay, let me share. Can you see it now?
Yes.
Awesome. As always, our people in green. Can you still see it? The next one, the enrollment?
Yep.
Okay. You saw Brian's, it was 534 in December. We usually have maybe a handful of kids that leave and then come back. This year was horrible. We had about 15 kids that left. And I know there were weddings and things in other countries and stuff. So I even went to a wedding. But
they left when?
This year they left at the beginning of December, and they didn't get back until now. So we dropped them, and we had to drop them. And we didn't want to go below the 525, so we replaced some of them. And now when they're getting back, now we are at 538, and that's maximum. And so we're not accepting the kids that are our kids, but left for more than 10 days.
Did any of those kids' families that left give us a heads up?
They did, but we can't allow them to leave for more than 10 days. And we don't want to go below the 525, because then our funding goes lower next time.
And when you say we can't allow them to leave for more than 10 days,
that's a state rule. No, that's a state rule. We can't have kids that are gone and we are getting funding for them. And we tell them, if you leave for 10 days, we're going to have to drop you.
Did those families that reported to us?
Some did.
Did we tell them?
Yes. And we have it in writing. We told them, if you leave more than 10 days, you're going to be dropped. If we have a spot, we'll take you back. But if we have to replace you, then we won't take you back.
Yes, this is not relevant to the conversation, just for my interest. How many families? We talked about 15 kids?
15 kids, I would say maybe 8 families.
So of those 15 kids, any wild guesses about how many of them, they left in the beginning of December and they're gone for almost a whole month?
Yeah.
Never mind.
Yeah, they're gone for too long. In fact, we had one employee that left. And she also left her job because we don't allow them to leave for more than 10 days either. And now she come back and she's, can I get my job back? And it's like, special ed, we need to replace you because they need the hours. The kids need the hours. I had replaced her. And so she's not coming back. And so
did she give us a heads up?
She did, but we told her we can't release you for more than a couple of days because we have kids that need the time. The federal government requires the special ed kids to get minutes per week.
Which, I'm wondering, has the board met that particular special ed teacher?
No, it's not a teacher. It was a teacher assistant.
Okay.
Yeah, and we have plenty of teacher assistants. So we're good, but she just needed to go for a month. And we had several kids that unusually high numbers of kids that left this time around, even though they knew they would be dropped. Right now, we have 5 kids on the waiting list that want to come back in, and we can't have them because we'll go over the limit. And so they just have to wait until somebody leaves or next year, and they'll wait. So we have 538 on the roll as of today, and that's just too close for comfort, because 541, we start getting fined if we have more than 541. We also have a few kids on the waiting list. We're not going to touch it anymore because we have plenty of kids for the rest of the year. Usually we don't lose kids from now until May, unless there's divorce or whatever, but only a few, not enough to replace them. The money that Brian was talking about, I mentioned it to you once before, because I think we need to be really proud of this fact, because many schools that are CSI, they don't do well academically, they go up for a year or two. And as soon as the money is lost from CSI, because you get extra money, then they dip down again. We didn't. We keep going up. And we really, we didn't go down. We started down. And so we've been going up little by little, and we have not gone down at all. And we went into CSI because we started so low. We were at 9% proficiency in math. We're at 37% now. And we keep going headed up. And that's why they give you money when you don't go back down, as a reward for staying up. And that's usually...
Mr. Alejandre?
Yes.
Angela is asking what CSI stands for.
Oh, Comprehensive School Improvement. And that money, that designation is assigned to a school that does not do well academically. And they give you money so that you can do some strategies to bring you out of CSI. And they did that to us. They gave us the money. We came out of CSI. And a lot of schools go back down to CSI within a year or two. We have not. And that's why they give you this
So how many years have reward. You been out of CSI?
3.
Okay.
And really, 4, because right after the pandemic, we came out of CSI, but that year didn't count. Mm-hmm. And so we could have been out longer.
Okay.
So. Just want to point out, the actual name of the program is Designated School Transition Support Grant.
Yeah. Support grant. Yeah.
One more time.
Designated Transition Support Grant.
Yes.
Designated School Transition Support Grant.
Yeah. And that money, there's some parameters that you have to spend those monies within. And so we're trying to find out exactly what we can do with those funds. Our goal, Brian and I talked about this, is to use half of it to pay for some of the things that we're already doing. And then the other half to somehow reward our employees for the work they've done.
Yeah, essentially the programs to support the school improvement plan. Mm-hmm. It's just like CSI. You can spend it under Title I spending parameters. And there's some specifics that Allocio has as far as how they can be spent, but it's much like the original CSI funds and Title I parameters. And just from a budget perspective, these funds we'll spend these and incorporate into the budget for this year. So as of June 30th, they'll be spent, which doesn't give us a lot of time. It's only half the fiscal year, but with the ways that we can spend these funds, we'll be fine.
Yeah, but so I think our faculty and staff have done wonderfully. So if you can tell them that they are. Amazing. We're getting close to 40% proficiency in mathematics, which is almost the state average for all kids, not just Hispanics. Hispanic kids are usually 25% around the state. That's the state average for mathematics. We're at 37%. So we're way up. Today was the first day of kindergarten registration. And within an hour, we had 50 kids that registered.
50?
50. and we have 81 slots. When Adi left at about, she was checking it at about 3 o'clock, and I asked her, have we gone up? And she said, yes, we have 64 as of 3 p.m. So within a couple of days, we'll be full, and then all the other kids that come in will go into a waiting list. And so it was really amazing today. We just saw the kids coming in, and we did absolutely very little advertising. We were invited to go to the Head Start program, and we decided not to go because people get upset when they can't get in. And we usually have about 100 kids in the waiting list in a month or so. And so we decided not to do extra advertising because we have a lot of the kids that are coming from within our families already that we have. And so, and we knew that we would fill up fairly quickly.
Is that full day kindergarten?
Yes, we do have full day kindergarten. Yeah. And the thing that the parents like really is the full day.
Yes, we have full time.
It is full time. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
We only have, yeah. The things that families really like is three things. It's full day, it's bilingual, and the other one, free, they don't have to qualify for free school lunch. Everybody eats free school lunch.
I do love that.
And breakfast.
So they love that.
A lot of parents do.
The best orange chicken he's ever had.
That's Will's favorite, is the orange chicken.
It's my favorite too, actually. Have you had it?
He says it's better than Pan Express. I'm like, nah.
The Costco orange chicken.
It's good stuff. It's good stuff.
Trader Joe's.
And so they tell us, and another thing that they really comment a lot about is the fact that we all go outside when the kids go home. All the teachers are in the front, waving goodbye to the kids, see you tomorrow, whatever. Mm-hmm. Parents always make comments when you guys go visit the homes. They really like, and we are in the morning, we're outside in the morning, welcoming the kids as well.
Mm-hmm. So forgive me, I'm ignorant, but is that a rare occasion?
It is.
That's very rare.
It is very rare. Very, very rare. Yeah, there people mm-hmm. usually
do home visits for intervention.
When and how did that provision start?
From the beginning. We did that from the very beginning. It's part of the invitational system, invitational education with even before I came, you guys were talking about it. And yeah,
that's what the teachers were talking about when they were in the home visits, when they would come and present to the board.
Yeah. So we just want to be invitational. We want to get to know the parents and the kids and who comes and picks them up and all of those things.
What their living conditions are like and what they're going through at home. And do they have someone at home when the kid comes home after school? Is there someone there? Is there someone there to help them and support them? Like, you get a whole picture by stepping into their house.
Yeah. Every teacher goes to all their kids' parents' homes before school starts. And then again in March, twice a year, the teachers go into the homes. That is definitely unheard of.
Go solo or usually?
No, they always go in pairs. Fair. Yeah.
Or does it happen sometimes that one of the pair can't make it, you need a fill-in?
Yeah, like we can go with any teacher who has gone through the training or any teacher assistant as well who's also done the training.
As long as
the staff or faculty see the training to do it, then they're qualified to.
Thank you. So a board member could tag along.
You could. You just need a short training, 30 minutes, just so that people know that they're not judging the home from our point of view, but from their point of view. And to be respectful, to make sure that if I'm a male, the parent is a female, to make sure that I'm not staring at the person.
Yeah.
That, and if there's a couple, that you're talking to both.
Sure.
Just basic things.
How can they access that training?
We will announce it, and we'll definitely invite you to come in. In fact, we'll invite all the board.
Yeah,
is that possible before March?
Yes.
Yeah, maybe beginning March.
Yeah, the first week.
It's announced.
And then for a month, the teachers can go at any time at their convenience, and they get paid extra money, $50 per student. And we get about 95% of the kids visited. There are some parents that don't like people coming.
Does he or she get 150% of what he's going to get paid?
Board members can't get paid. They're volunteers.
Well, 150 times zero, still zero.
Still zero. That's right.
Yeah, but
but have another sandwich and some
yeah,
soup.
There's
some,
yeah, that's right.
Sandwiches and some soups and all kinds of stuff. So I've heard nothing but positive about the home visits. In the last 10 years, we've had, I think if I remember correctly, maybe three incidents that were concerning. A couple, the husband got a little jealous.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, and he was very, very aggressive, upset. But in another one that one of the teachers reported the family to DCFS for having a dirty kitchen. There was another one that I don't recall what
is
the
that
other
an allegation
one.
Or a proof.
Well, the DCFS went in and they did remove the child.
Did the teacher deny it?
No, she said I saw it and I didn't think it was healthy for the child to be there, and most of us would rather know and ask the person to help him. In fact, one of the TAs wanted to go and help, but it was too late. And that's why we do the training to make sure that and we started doing the training because of that. Yeah.
I'll be able to look in the backseat of my car.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
You know what the funniest thing is? There was a car that parked way in the back, and the child got out. And the child was coming up and says, "Where did you get up? Why did you get out of the car so far?" My daddy says that my car smells like marijuana. Like, I don't think your dad wanted you to tell me.
Cooper's like, "Mom, I'll just get out here." My car, and it's like, "Oh, come on." He's like, "No, every time I get out of the car, I bring something out of the car with me. It's a can."
Yeah, we
a bag or something.
Yeah.
We see that. We see that a lot, but you know, that's just the way our families live. And so
you guys used to pull them out of the car and check
I
the
know.
Temperature.
I know.
It was always like, "Mom, just drop me off around the corner." Before we even got to the school, out of the subdivision, that first little street, just drop me off right here.
Well, unless okay. It's so warm in the car and they get out and their temperature is always too high because it came from freezing. And so
yeah.
It's like, oh yeah, the heat's still totally blasting.
But like I said, we haven't had, in 10 years, we haven't had a lot of problems. You know, just a few that usually come up.
My kids love it. They think it's great. The teachers come into my house.
Most
my oldest daughter even baked cookies once when they came.
Uh-huh.
And she's never even sitting here.
And that's the other thing that we try to tell the teachers to make it known that they're going to be there for a short period of time and they can't eat because a lot of the Hispanic families prepare meals for them.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And so we tell the parents don't feed them because you'll get them back again and again. No, just kidding. But we tell them that they're in a hurry. They have to go to other homes. And so we just don't want it. But we still have parents that give them food anyway. So, but anyway,
In front of the office, there's a lot of pictures from prior home visits. They want to see them on the way out.
When you walk out, there's pictures by the elevator. Because we ask the parents for permission to take their picture. And then we put them by the elevator. There's a bunch of pictures you can look at. Yeah. We started doing that during the pandemic, I think. We weren't doing that before, right, Yvonne?
Yeah, it was just for the pandemic.
Yeah.
I remember going in person for the first year.
Yeah.
And then the next year, we had to do online
streaming. Yes. And then after the pandemic, that's when we started taking pictures of the families. Yeah. But anyway, so they, I think that most of the teachers like going to the homes too, because they get to know the kids.
Yeah,
so
it's awesome. You know, I like academically speaking, child performance in school, you can see a difference.
Well, you know, they feel like you're invested in them, and you are,
yeah.
But they can actually see it. You came to their home.
Yeah, and one of the reasons why I started doing this even before is because I noticed that when the teachers and the parents know each other, the kids behave better. Yeah.
That didn't work well.
Imagine if you didn't know the teachers, though. You don't know what.
You would only behave in after school. You were the old struggle.
No, but typically that's the case.
Hey, are you aware of other schools, either charter or conventional, that do these visits?
No. Mm-hmm. Nobody does that. And most, in fact, I tried to do it at the alternative high school, and people just... They're afraid of going into the homes. The teachers are afraid. What if I get hurt, assaulted, or what if I get robbed? And I'm like, why? I mean, I used to always visit the homes and I didn't get paid. I just did it on my
I
own.
remember that when we were interviewing you.
Yeah.
And you come in on the weekends and make
I
yourself
come in the
available.
weekends, that's right, and
Yeah.
just go and visit. I would take my wife on home visits. And so I never ever felt unsafe in a home. And so and we had to bribe the teachers here a little bit with money. And it,
I think it's necessary.
yeah.
I think they
Yeah.
should be paid for their time.
I
For working outside of
fully,
school hours.
fully agree.
Teachers do a lot.
Yeah, and that and some of them they don't mind helping the teacher next door because they get paid extra.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of in fact, the TAs were upset because they weren't invited to go. Because the teachers are going with each other rather than taking the teacher assistants. And some of the TAs were not happy.
I was gonna say, in some
Yeah.
in some cases, some of the TAs are
50.
so involved with the students
Yeah.
and their interventions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's worked well. And I think teachers like it, parents like it, and the kids, as you mentioned, they enjoy having the teacher in their home. So that's yeah. Okay, that was it. The next meeting is in on the 13th of February. I was going to ask about the summer training so that we can start planning it. It is scheduled for the 7th and the 8th of June. Can you start looking at your calendars for next month in February so that we can,
You mean, oh, yeah.
yeah, in February, we can talk about if that's the case, then I'll start looking for a place to go.
I can tell you right now, I don't think I can do it.
Not that weekend.
Oh, no, the weekend. Yes, I can.
It's
Sorry.
Friday night,
Yes, I
Saturday.
can. I just would think I have that week before prior. I'm traveling,
Oh,
but that's fine.
the weekend is
I
fine.
don't travel 1 week a month now.
What about the ones online?
The
Angela.
felt. So far, that looks pretty good.
Okay. Felicia.
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay.
I'm good with
I think that's my 50th high school reunion. I'll double check the date.
Okay.
Excuse not have to go.
Yeah.
I love going to my reunion. 7th
17th.
and 8th of June.
And Memorial Day is
May,
May of May.
May, it's going to be the 27th.
Let's out of school that week.
Wait,
Not,
this is the calendar for the following year. Nope,
yeah,
it's not the
graduation.
27th.
It is on the 27th, actually.
It is?
Memorial Day is on the 27th.
Okay.
Sophie's graduation is on the 23rd. So
Okay.
they get out of school that week.
Okay. Anyway, so I can start looking at places. We can look at Park City since we went to Ogden last year.
Can I ask Eli?
Oh, Eli, I didn't ask you, Eli, how?
Eli?
Yeah, that should work.
Okay.
That's plenty of notice.
Excellent. Excellent.
Yeah, I will add him back in. So
Yeah.
he's here. I mean, if we wanted to approve the
Go
calendar,
back.
we could.
Oh,
Or do you
they
want to
don't have
wait?
it. They don't
Okay,
have it.
that's fine.
We'll do
Yeah.
it next month.
Okay.
Okay. That's it. Questions?
You guys can bring your family too to the strategic planning.
That's right. You can bring your family.
I did type a question about the kindergarten registration. Is that an in-person registration or can they do that online?
Online.
It's right now it's 100% online, and but parents can come in and we have computers here in the parent room where we can help them complete the process.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. Then we will go ahead and adjourn and we'll see you next month. It is 6:41 p.m. Thank you, everybody.
Wow. This is
thank you
world
all.
record.
New record. Thank you.
Except for
Thank
Thank
you.
you. See you guys.
I remember the first couple of years we were staying here until 8:30, 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
That gives you provision, you
know? Yeah.
Just getting stuff done.
I don't even have a computer. Maybe that's what